I think this passage in Matthew 6 complements the series we did in Romans really well. It's the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be diving deep starting this morning. We're going to actually this morning focus intently on four words. I'll read the verse in just a little bit. But before we hear what God has to say through Jesus, through the Bible, about prayer, let's go ahead and go to Him for the help we need with that. Father, I praise You that You are a God who communicates and invites us to communicate with You. We are desperately in need of Your truth and grace to understand how to live in relationship with You. So now to each of us here, to those watching, listening from their homes, may Your Holy Spirit take Your word and apply it clearly and powerfully to our hearts and our lives. May Your truth be clear, and may Your grace be abundant to us as a family and as individual children. Glorify Your name. Amen. So the Lord's Prayer, it's where Jesus teaches us directly how to pray. I think it may be true that in the developed world, this time and this place may be the hardest time in history to pray well. Because humans have always had the internal resistance of a heart that is naturally resistant, wanting to be independent from God. We're born with that desire to be independent. You start seeing it when your kids are toddlers. And then, of course, there's always been external resistance from the influence of society or from our spiritual enemies. But never before in history is the label the age of distraction so appropriate for our whole society as now. So the new norm is nonstop, almost nonstop mental stimulation. And most of it's on a superficial level, and that's just the life, the society we live in. The complication is that it's not all bad, it's just overwhelming. The mix of great gaming options, quality entertainment, endless updates on numerous social media platforms, instant communication, and a minute-by-minute news cycle with a fever pitch of urgency, all combines to create a cacophony of mental noise that is almost inescapable. So you combine that with our real-world circumstances that we're facing as individuals and as a society, and then now, who really has time or the focus to learn to pray well? Or to pray well regularly. That's really tragic because we were created for a vibrant relationship with our Savior and our King. And like any good relationship, communication is the foundation. But cultivating a life of healthy communication with our Creator may be harder than ever. However, into this dilemma, we do have hope through our passage today. We have a Lord who wants to teach us to pray, and He's good at it. And we have a Lord who does not want us to miss out on the privilege and the life-saving power of a life that's lived in communication with Him. So Jesus teaches us to pray. Like any child learning to speak, before we can speak well, we must first learn to listen, to understand what's being said before we can respond. So our youngest daughter, Mariel, just turned 2. Her vocabulary is increasing every single day. But what she has to do is hear what we say, and then she can repeat it and respond. And this is how we learn how to speak as human beings. prayer is learning how to speak as a child of God. And prayer is always our response to a God who has spoken first and who continues to speak. So as God's children, this means listening to what He says throughout Scripture, but then in learning to pray, we can perk up especially when the Lord demonstrates it or speaks about it directly. And this is why we're going to have a sustained focus on the prayer that Jesus gave to teach His disciples the pattern of prayer in general. So this morning, this is it. Jesus says, Matthew 6, verse 9, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven." That's where we're going to stop today. And in fact, today we're going to focus on four words in particular. Our Father in heaven. And this is the main concept that we see from the outset from those four words. Learning to pray begins with understanding the person we are speaking to. Learning to pray begins with understanding the person we are speaking to. So we're going to have three focuses from those four words. Not in precise order that He spoke them, but here they are, Father. Our Father in heaven are the four words. And first of all, let's look at that word, Father. Ask this question. Why would a child be apprehensive about speaking to her father or his? Why would the prospect of conversation with a father be intimidating or just unappealing? Well, there are two possible reasons it could be. And one is, the first is that it's a bad father. A father who's deficient in one way or another, uncaring, or disengaged, or worse. That would be a logical, rational reason for a child not to want to have anything to do with communication, if possible. But there's a second possible reason, and that would be a wrong perception of a good father. Maybe it's in the child's head, and she's actually missing out because of that perception. That second reason is the one that applies entirely to our struggles with prayer. The perception of our good father that can be wrong. Of course, none of us have a perfect earthly father, but we can learn both from the best and the worst of our earthly fathers. We can look at the common negatives of earthly fathers and say, unlike earthly fathers, the Father in heaven, the Heavenly Father, is never like this. So the Heavenly Father is never moody. Our Father in heaven is never aloof. Our Heavenly Father is never absent. Our Heavenly Father is never volatile. Our Father in heaven is never weary. He's never unreliable. Our Father in heaven is never cruel. Unlike earthly fathers, our Father in heaven is never unkind. He's never impatient. Our Father in heaven is never fill in your own blank related to what might come to your mind about the deficiency of an earthly father. And realize that you can learn from that by contrast. But then on the other hand, we are meant to learn from the best virtues of earthly fathers, because like the best earthly fathers, the Heavenly Father delights in His children. The Heavenly Father has energy for His kids. This Father in heaven is fully engaged. He's consistent and dependable. This Father is joyful and full of passion. This Father is patient. This Father is understanding. This Father is an amazing listener. This Father is a wonderful counselor. So from the outset, This is the God Jesus instructs us to direct our prayer to. We cannot pray well without knowing what kind of person God is and who we are in relation to Him. Both. See, Jesus wants us to enter into communication with God in relationship to Him as a beloved child. Father. So what does this imply? If you know you've got a fantastic Father and you are profoundly loved, well, it implies freedom. Think about kids who love and trust their parent. Openness and honesty. Priority access. Simplicity. Freedom from pretense. So, we've got an illustration here of a child reaching out to their dad. And this is a great metaphor for the whole pattern of prayer. Confidence of love, welcome, because you know this parent is trustworthy, has an eagerness to hear you and to give what's best. That's all implied in Jesus' instruction here. Wow. So how can we have such a confidence toward God, such privilege? And the answer is that we can have it as a free gift, purchased for us by Christ. If you're a Christian, then you have received adoption and are given all the privileges of sonship in God's family. See, in New Testament times, firstborn sons were customarily given special privileges. So, the point of the New Testament, referring to all believers at times as sons, or in terms of sonship, is to make clear that all the privileges that Christ bought are for all His believers, all His disciples. So if you're a woman and you feel slighted at all by the term applying to you as a woman as well as men, sonship, sons, at least you can take comfort that other places in the New Testament, the term bride applies to men as well. Both Christian women and men in the New Testament. And that has other implications, all right? So it's even. But the point here is that through adoption, all of us have the privileges of sonship that were unique and special to that rule of the time. Now, on earth, we do see examples of human adoption. And in a healthy situation, think about it. Parents give the love to an adopted child, that same affection and love, equally as they would to a natural child or one that they wish they could have. Only a deficient set of parents will love an adopted child differently than they do children born naturally. And this is how it is with our Heavenly Father also. Jesus is the only begotten Son, one with the Father from eternity past. But in John 17:23, Jesus prays that the world would know the Father has sent Him and that the Father has loved His disciples even as He has loved Jesus. Can you believe that? Like, really believe it? If you are a Christian, God loves you just like He loves Jesus. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. That's taking it too far, you know? How can that be? Well, it can only be as a free gift of sheer grace. One that the true God sacrificed everything to give you. Can you believe it? We actually might hesitate to really accept this, to at least actually live inside it, because we sense that we're not worthy or deserving the way that Jesus is. Like, of course, the Father loves Jesus radically and profoundly. Jesus is all lovable. But we are infected by sin. And if we're honest, we're not even always likable. So, how can we really accept this? We need to understand the gospel more deeply. the fact that through the substitution of Jesus, we're not only adopted into God's family as we are, but we're made entirely new creations, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We're one with Christ, and in Him we are complete. So God loves us as Jesus because He has made us one with Jesus. And Jesus, in His perfection, now defines our new identity. It's not only amazing, but it's just and right for God to love His adopted children even as He loves His only begotten Son. So then, for us to actually hold back or shy away from God's radical, intense love for us is to diminish the effectiveness of Jesus' substitution for us on the cross. Instead, believe it. Receive it. If you are in Christ, you have a Father who loves you beyond all feeling or understanding. Deal with it. Embrace it. Don't let any bad experience you have had with an earthly father hinder your communication with your perfect Father. Instead, let the limitations of earthly parents only highlight the need you have for a perfect parent and the glory of the perfect parent that you do have. What's the Father like? He's like Jesus. Read the Gospels for a fresh look at the character of Jesus to better understand the character of the Father. What is Jesus like? Gentle and lowly, brilliant and almighty, pure, righteous, just, kind. Do you know God as your Father? So Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father. But He's more than a Father. He is the Father. Our Father in heaven. Which brings us to the second focus. The third and fourth words, in heaven. I want you to compare these two experiences. First, sitting by a fire in a cozy blanket with a cup of gourmet coffee next to you. Or hot chocolate, if you prefer. How would you describe that experience? Comfortable, restful, comforting? Or if you changed that earlier slide to a baby smiling and reaching forward to you, or toddler reaching out to you because they love and trust you, what's that experience like? It's nice. Okay? Now contrast that with imagine being one of the first astronauts to ever behold an Earthrise from outer space. Seeing the planet upon which all human history has played out looking like the size of an acorn. This is where nation has fought against nation, empires have risen and fallen. You see this as a small but beautiful blue sphere in the sky of outer space. How would you describe that experience? Most of us probably won't get to have that one in person. So how about one that more of us can relate to more easily? What about just a view of high mountains in person? Similar feelings. Or what about one that you can have simply by looking it up on your smartphone, your laptop, which would be watching footage of a natural disaster, like a tsunami or a volcano or a hurricane. What do you feel? And then consider, just think about the fact that our planet upon which all of these things happen is one sphere in a vast galaxy. It's a galaxy that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 billion stars. And of course, our Milky Way galaxy is thought to be just one of somewhere between 200 billion and 2 trillion galaxies. And we are told about God that He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Psalm 147, verse 4. So, in our passage here, Jesus is teaching us not only to pray to the Father, but our Father in heaven. In heaven implies beyond us, above us, beyond comprehension. Now, to be clear, the point is not that we always need to add the words in heaven every time we address God as Father. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, there's a parallel passage teaching of Jesus where he doesn't include those words, those two words. But the point is that whenever and however we address our Father in heaven, we do remember the nature of the person we're speaking to. This God, to whom we're praying, brought all things into existence by simply speaking. So what do we feel? Smallness? Breathlessness? Awe? He is sovereign, supreme, and sufficient like no other. So that brings us to the point that the greatest dads in the world cannot compare to the Divine Father. And let this sink in. They are not meant to. He alone is the one for whom our restless hearts were meant to find their rest. And the psalmists cry out to him in passionate longing. That's not a normal or healthy disposition to have toward earthly fathers. But for this person, it is. Because he's not just a father, he's all valuable and all desirable and all satisfying. And he alone hears and answers prayer. He alone speaks and it is done. He alone reigns over every detail for the glory of his name and the eternal good of his children. So yes, our Father in heaven is infinite and incomprehensible, and yet at the same time, God listens to us when we pray. He invites us to approach him as children in all our neediness and weakness and messiness. Let's face it, we can all be a little ridiculous sometimes. At least, most of us. No, I think all of us. But before our Father in heaven, we don't have to pretend. We don't have to put on a front. We are needy and helpless in ourselves, yes, but we are also clothed in Christ, inseparably united to him in identification. So through Jesus, that means that the holiness of the infinite divine Father is not a threat, but a gift, a wonder, a fearful wonder, but a satisfying one. Yes, our Father in heaven. Father in heaven. And that brings us to our third focus. And our final focus is the first word of the prayer. Our. He says our. So what is Jesus implying? It's that it is not just you and him. You're part of a family. God is personal, and he deals with us as individuals, and that's awesome. But Jesus teaches us here to remember our place in the larger body, to care not only for our own needs, but for those of our family members, and to seek our Father alongside our brothers and sisters. In fact, we need other family members to know our Father well. Each one reflects him distinctly. It's like when you see a big family of kids and every one of them looks like their parents, but in a different way. No one reflects him fully alone. So just imagine taking actually a trip, a missionary trip to a third world country. And while you're there, you make some new friends. And these people have never been out of their village. In fact, they don't even have access to the World Wide Web. Now, I know that's increasingly unrealistic, so you have to really use your imagination for that. But maybe in some places that's still possible. And before you leave, they ask you, well, what do things look like in your country? What's the geography like for you at home? Now, how would you answer? Of course, Your view depends on where you live and your country. And the variety is just tremendous. You need people from all over the country to be able to describe it in detail from personal experience. And that analogy is really limited, but it reflects the truth that each of us have something unique to learn about our vast and infinite God from every one of His children. We have a different view of the same person. Only in the context of the broader family can we come to know our Father more fully and more truly. The same God, unchanging. And so, we're to seek our Father alongside other ones of His children, our Father. And we're to seek God also on behalf of our fellow adopted siblings as well. They are fellow heirs of the kingdom. So that's it. Our Father in heaven. To summarize, in this first phrase of the prayer that Jesus used to teach us the pattern of healthy prayer, He teaches us first thing to remember and reflect on the person we're speaking to. Only when we remember His tender love toward us and His ultimate reign over us is our heart fittingly moved to communication with Him. Is it moved to communication with the person He really is? If we doubt His care or His affection, His love, we're very unlikely to approach Him regularly or gladly. But if we downplay His power, His sovereignty, or unlimited glory, we're unable to esteem Him or submit to Him rightly. And if we shrink Him down to our size to make Him more palatable, we will ultimately become bored. Jesus invites us to a better way. God made us for Himself, for a relationship with Him as He actually is, not as we would imagine or wish. And the reality is better. Through the Lord's Prayer, Jesus invites us to participate in the fellowship that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have been enjoying for all time. Because before Jesus' incarnation, becoming a human, He enjoyed perfect fellowship with the Father from eternity past. And then when He became a man, He walked in perfect relationship to the Father as a human in fellowship with Him. So He demonstrates the power and the pleasure of a life lived as a son in true and close relationship to the perfect Father. But He doesn't just demonstrate it. He also made it possible for you to experience it as well. He opened up the way for you to enjoy that privilege that only He deserved. We read in the Gospel of Mark that on the cross, after Jesus cried out and breathed His last, the curtain of the temple to the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. As Jesus was severed from the fellowship of the Father, as He bore our sin and our judgment, He opened the way to that fellowship for us. And this is the Jesus who invites us now. Pray like this. He bought the privilege. Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Jesus, who was teaching His disciples how to pray, Jesus was dying to give His disciples the same wonder and access and intimacy that He enjoyed with His perfect Father. And He did die to give it to us. He has. It's done. The way is open. Are you availing yourself of it? The words of this old poem are thought to be written by Horatio Bonar. And I'll close with them. so near, so very near to God, I cannot nearer be. For in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. So dear, so very dear, dear to God, more dear I cannot be. The love wherewith he loves the Son, such is his love to me. Go to your Father in heaven. Believe in his love. Stand in awe of his power. Worship and wonder at the God who invites us, who invites you into his inner circle of fellowship. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, these truths are almost too much for us to really grasp. Maybe we sense our unworthiness or weakness or just all the noise that we deal with that makes it so hard to avail ourselves of the privilege you've made possible. But I pray you cut through, Lord, this morning by your truth and your grace to help us more than before to avail ourselves of the access you've made possible for us. We praise you that you are a Father who wants such relationship with your children, and that you've adopted us to be fellow siblings with Jesus, the only begotten Son. May we live and think and pray as your children coming to our precious Father in heaven. Yes, amen.